Support for this program is provided by Chevron, the human energy company.
This is Politico Energy. I'm Josh Siegel. Nuclear power may be having a moment in Washington. For years, the industry has seen little concrete policy progress, despite bipartisan interest, and it's faced some major public setbacks. But now, there's freshly passed congressional legislation and new Biden rules that are putting real teeth behind nuclear power. So today, I chat with Politico's Catherine Morehouse about if the nuclear renaissance just got real. It's Tuesday, March 12th.
So to start with Congress, Josh, you and I reported on a bill that passed the House late last month. That's the Atomic Energy Advancement Act, and it's really received widespread bipartisan support. What that bill essentially is a package of nuclear reforms that do a bunch of things aimed at simplifying the regulatory process for nuclear, because as we'll talk about more, new reactors just face a super lengthy, super expensive process from licensing to final construction. And that bill has a companion bill in the Senate, and there are some differences there, but definitely a ton of overlap, and lawmakers seem pretty motivated to get something over the finish line here. And we also saw the president sign the fiscal 2024 spending bill for the Energy Department and other agencies, but for our purposes includes $2.7 billion for DOE to spend on boosting domestic uranium production, which is important because right now we rely really heavily on Russia for uranium enrichment. And so building out the U.S. supply chain for that fuel is considered really critical if we want to both expand our reliance on nuclear power while also remaining energy independent, or becoming energy independent in that case. And then finally, the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, which is in charge of licensing new reactors, released new guidance for how staff should revise its proposal to create a new licensing process for advanced reactors. The original staff proposal was really widely disliked by industry and by members of Congress who've been really bullish on this. And so the commissioners themselves voted to really simplify their directive and kind of focus on a licensing process that's a bit more workable to some of these emerging reactor types here. It's really intended to kind of, you know, allow different types of reactors to have a path forward, to have some flexibility for the industry and be a bit more innovative than the agency has been in the past.
Interesting to see this all come together at the same time. We do know that nuclear power, of course, has received bipartisan interest for a while. So that part's not new, and there has been some hurdles recently. So can you kind of remind us where the industry's at as we're seeing all this action?
Yeah, the most promising reactor for a while was the NuScale plant that was being developed in Idaho, and they were the first reactor to get their design plan approved by the NRC using its process for those larger old school reactors. So that was a pretty big deal to see this advanced nuclear smaller design get that approval. But last year, they had to cancel their U.S. project because they didn't have enough customers, didn't have enough people willing to pay for the power as the per megawatt hour costs kept creeping up, largely because of supply chain and other issues. There was also the Vogtle saga, and Vogtle is the only commercial reactor to have been built in the U.S. in more than three decades, which maybe sounds like a victory, but it was actually just so heavily burdened by cost delays and overruns that it's really considered in the industry and among consumer advocates in particular more of kind of a horror story, just because of, again, how bad the price tag got for customers. So overall, it's just been a tough few decades for this industry that's kind of seen a lot of fits and starts and promises, but very little concrete progress in terms of really getting these reactors built and getting them built on time and on budget.
Right. And given these struggles, why are nuclear backers you speak with confident that these new policy measures that you outlined will actually make a difference? And isn't there an element of risk here, kind of from the government's perspective, taking on, you know, all this initiative with some funding and just bandwidth on nuclear, given the struggles we've seen?
To start with kind of the obvious, I think there are just a lot of people who really want to see nuclear power work. And that's why it sees such widespread bipartisan support. You know, if you think about what the world looks like, if we can get nuclear reactors off the ground and deployed widely, that solves a huge dilemma in how we can cut carbon from the grid and create a zero emissions grid and put all of these other industries on the grid and solve climate change. Wind, solar, and storage have a ton of promise, but from a land use perspective, from an engineering dispatchability perspective, small reactors would really just be such a huge piece of the puzzle to complement wind and solar resources and fill in some of the gaps there. And you know, you can just place them anywhere. It just would solve a lot of kind of the dilemmas of wind and solar. And certainly in terms of risk, certainly there's risk anytime you back a new technology, but that's kind of been the government's role in a lot of developing technologies. Wind, solar, storage, carbon capture, hydrogen are all things that the government has backed when, you know, they weren't fully commercially developed. And a lot of people see the government's role as absorbing that risk so that the private sector doesn't have to. And that's kind of a role that we saw the Trump administration favoring for the government, and we see under Biden for these reactors as well. So it does seem like there is bipartisan support for the government to absorb that risk. When there's such a big public good at play here, it seems like there isn't much support for having an individual company kind of really tank itself in trying to solve that problem.
And of course, Congress administration are still looking poised to act on more policies to back nuclear here in the coming weeks and months. So what are you watching for?
Yeah, another issue that we haven't talked about is there are a lot of questions on how long to keep the current fleet of aging nuclear reactors running. Nuclear makes up a really large percent of our power generation in total, and at a time when we're seeing more and more kind of old coal plants and old natural gas plants and other facilities kind of go offline and seeing rising power demand, I think that there's definitely a resistance to retiring some of the older but zero carbon large power plants that can really be important to capacity and zero emissions capacity. Some of those plants have drawn, you know, expanding the license for those plants that's gotten some resistance from environmentalists. One particularly contentious proposal the NRC is looking at would keep the Diablo Canyon open, which is California's last nuclear plant, and that would open it up for another 20 years, but is facing some challenges at the state level. Another issue that the government needs to work out that's really tough is on nuclear waste. They've been working on proposals to create a consent-based siting program in order to essentially get community buy-in for storing nuclear waste. Obviously, that's pretty tricky because thus far it doesn't seem like there are many communities super interested in that. And there's been a lot of pushback from some of the temporary storage sites in New Mexico and in Texas. You've seen those states really say, you know, we don't want this here even temporarily because we're not convinced you have a long-term solution. So that's just something that's weighed on the government and the industry for a while now that they'll still have to grapple with.
Also, President Joe Biden issued his annual budget request to Capitol Hill on Monday, signaling a continued focus on climate and environmental issues if he's reelected in November. Biden is seeking to boost funding at the Department of Energy to develop commercial clean energy technologies and back more scientific research. At Interior, he wants to increase funds towards tribal programs, climate change resilience efforts, and clean energy development on public lands. And at EPA, he wants additional funds going toward climate change and environmental justice programs. Just to be clear, the budget request is effectively a messaging document since Congress is not expected to pass full-year funding measures before the November elections. For more news on energy and the environment, subscribe to our free newsletter at politico.com/power-switch. And subscribe to Politico Pro to read our morning energy newsletter. Some of the music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. And that's our show. I'm Josh Siegel, and we'll see you back tomorrow.
Support for this program is provided by Chevron. Chevron is taking action to keep methane in the pipe. Their 2028 upstream methane intensity target is set to be 53% below the 2016 baseline, and they're committed to evolving facility designs and operating practices. That's energy in progress. Learn more at chevron.com/methane.